Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 650-389-1111. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Hanif Baharuddin, and you're tuned in to the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. This week on the show, we hear the story of Rita Rahim, the founder of Gerai Orang Asal, or more affectionately called Gerai OA. It's an initiative that sells handicrafts made by the Orang Asal community.
I'm Rita Rahim from Gerai OA. I'm the coordinator and founder, and we started this stall from 2004.
Gerai OA does not have a permanent shop at a specific place. They instead move from one location to another.
Gerai Orang Asal is a nomadic stall. We are run by volunteers, so we are not actually a business or an NGO or a social enterprise. We are a nomadic stall because we don't have a business premise and we can't afford rent. So we are literally only open when we are offered rent-free sites, which normally happens once a month.
The inspiration behind Gerai OA comes from Rita's previous life as a craft researcher.
I'm a craft researcher, so in my years of doing research prior to 2004, we actually found a lot of interesting crafts in the interiors that didn't make it to market for whatever reason. Later on, we found some of the reasons include lack of market access, but also exploitation by the middlemen. The prices were really low, and we wanted the craftspeople to get slightly better prices or even more if they could. So we started helping them to improve on the crafts, but we only started selling on their behalf after incidences in the village where their middlemen were trying to exploit them.
More importantly, Rita recalls a very specific incident that acted as a catalyst for the initiative.
The women we worked with in one particular village were threatened by the middleman, and he basically told them to follow what he says or he will not sell their things anymore. So they approached us to start selling their items, and we said, well, we're not really set up for things like that. But we said, we'll try and do it, and it started from there and it's gone on since.
To stray away from the approach taken by most middlemen, Gerai OA decided not to take a single cent from the artisans. This means that 100% of the sales made will be returned to the community. Is this sustainable?
Well, depends on what you mean by sustainability. We are not set up as a business, so we don't look at that kind of returns. And we can do this because the volunteers are not paid. We don't have rental issues, mainly because businesses give us rent-free sites for a day or two. And everybody's happy to sort of work for free if they know why they are working for free.
Artisanship is not really a major economic activity within the indigenous community. Therefore, the lack of exposure to the trade and how to go about it has left the community vulnerable. Gerai OA comes in to change that.
Most artisans, rural artisans, especially indigenous artisans, they don't survive on crafts alone. It's impossible for any indigenous artisan to survive on crafts alone. They have side incomes, for example. If they have a small holding, they survive on the rubber or oil palm small holdings. Crafts is more for those who actually have a feel for producing crafts. They are artistic. It's just that they don't have access to the artistic market. So they tend to sell their items below what is actually worth.
Were they aware that they've been exploited by middlemen before?
They know. No. They know, but there's very little they can do about it. The absence of choice in terms of selling to different parties means they have to settle for whatever party gives them that price. So what we set up to do was just to break the monopolies in certain areas and give them choices. We're not saying you have to cut off the middleman completely. There are functions of a middleman, especially in a rural economy, but you also have to have some sort of give them choices so that they can choose to sell to us through us, or they can sell through the middleman if we happen to come in late for that month. We are not trying to market the middleman out of existence. It's just that there's no way we can do that. They are quite entrenched in the rural economy.
Okay, so what's their reaction to your different approach compared to the other middlemen?
In many places, there actually were no craft middlemen, but there were just people who were coming in occasionally to buy things. Some places didn't even have a market for handicrafts because crafts were not made for selling. It was made for usage. So that's where we created new markets in those rural areas. Then some people came in after that, following our lead to purchase items there, and we have no problems with that since we are not a business.
Gerai OA has earned the trust of almost 40 Orang Asal communities across Malaysia for the initiative. But each of these communities have to adhere to a strict guideline set by Gerai OA.
We don't walk into any village and start. We actually have to have worked with them for a while before we introduce the idea that if you want to sell, we can help you sell, but you have to follow our Sharats, our program outlines. For example, it has to be of a certain quality before we can help you sell it. You have to make it sustainable in production, not so much in terms of sales, but in terms of production. That means you follow the old ways of harvesting, following the moon cycles, lunar cycles. You don't over-harvest and you try and keep your raw materials supply intact. Then we will try and help you to improve on the quality and bring up to the sales price. We do run colour workshops and quality control workshops in most of the villages we work in, just to give them an idea of items, the colour range which is more accessible to the urban market. So we have run colour workshops in Sabah, for example, in our Rungus beading communities. And we use the Orang Asli trainers to run workshops in the interiors of Kelantan. So it's also a learning experience for the trainers themselves, who are Orang Asal, to see other villages.
I asked Rita about the kind of handicrafts available in Gerai OA.
We have a range of handicrafts depending on what each community specializes in. So we have basketry, we have mats, we have beaded accessories, mostly coming in from Sabah. We have very unusual things like sculptures coming in from the Pulau Keri, the Mahmeris there. We have blowpipes coming in from the Tomia areas in Kelantan. We have the most recent thing, which is kind of funny, is we have a bait box coming in from the Semlais of Tasik Bera.
Any bestsellers from these handicrafts?
Yes, for our most recent sales, the bestsellers were pouches, pandanus pouches and pandanus boxes.
The handicrafts made by the indigenous communities go through a very challenging journey before they reach the hands of the customers. And that's what makes these handicrafts unique. But do customers get to listen to these stories?
Yeah, we do tell people the stories if they want to listen. But most of the time nowadays, pictures talk better than words. So we actually use a lot of pictures. We post twice a day on our Facebook page, photos of either the products or the people we work with, and a little bit of info at a time, because nowadays people can't digest too much either. But if you're willing to listen, we will tell you the stories about everything.
Rita shares one interesting story about one of the simplest items in their various lines of handicrafts, a bookmark.
Yes, we've written about the stories behind the crafts in our Facebook post. And a lot of the time we write those because people have no idea. When they see the products, they just see the products. But they didn't know how long it took to develop a product from the beginning till now, what is extremely sellable. For example, one of the smallest things we produce is a bookmark. It may not look like much and it only retails for 2 ringgit a piece, but it takes an hour to weave each piece. But the remarkable thing was these bookmarks were woven by women who are barely literate. So the idea or the concept of a bookmark is completely new to them. How do you tell people to make a bookmark when they don't read or they don't read much? So when the first bookmarks were produced, it was actually modified from the handles of their existing pouches. And then some were too long, some were too short, some were all over the place, and then they were too thick to be inserted into books. So the ladies started sleeping on them on their sleeping mats to flatten it before somebody had the bright idea of using a laminating machine to roll them flat. So it starts with all the small, small things, but eventually the bookmarks are now bestsellers. They are often purchased in bulk by people who are going overseas and they need gifts from Malaysia that are light and travel easily and not too expensive. So we always get requests by people who are traveling to purchase this.
Another unique aspect of handicrafts under Gerai OA's care is each of the items that they sell will be tagged with a brown label that has the name of the artisan who made the product. What's the rationale behind this?
Because my background is a craft researcher, we've seen museum tags before, and museum tags have very interesting information. So we tried to replicate it into a little brown tag, which basically contains the info like the age of the artisan, the name of the artisan, village, ethnic group, raw material name in traditional language, traditional usage as well as contemporary usage. The hilarious thing about that brown tag was it started more like a little joke, and now it's mandatory for each of our products to have that because people actually want it. We have seen people's collections with the brown tags intact from 5 years ago. They never took it off. We're not even sure why. And then now we even have a new policy where we implemented a blue ribbon special for products which are so limited production where it's only made by maybe one or two artisans in the whole of Malaysia. So we actually asked our buyers to please refrain from buying more than one blue ribbon items at a time. So buyers have to learn to share.
That was Rita Rahim, founder and coordinator of Gerai OA. Coming up, we will explore the reaction from the public to Gerai OA's initiative and the condition of the Orang Asal community. I'm Hanif Baharuddin. You're tuned in to I Love KL, BFM 89.9.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold-cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
BFM 89.9, you've been listening to I Love KL, the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. I'm Hanif Baharuddin. On the show this week, we've been speaking to Rita Rahim, founder and coordinator of Gerai OA, a nomadic stall that sells handicrafts made by the Orang Asal community. Earlier, we've heard how the initiative started and behind-the-scenes stories about the handicrafts. Let's explore how the society reacted to Gerai OA's efforts.
In the beginning, not so, but then we discovered social media. Then we started showing the pictures that we've been taking all these years, our archival shots as well as the more current ones, of those who actually make the crafts. All these years, we've been using brown tags that have the names of the artisans, so you know who you're buying from, but you've never really seen them. Using social media, we could actually upload their faces so you can see who you're supporting in your purchase. And it's not just about a charity case of, oh, look at them. We try to portray them with dignity in the work that they do, which is interesting because some other places, some other sites will actually just go for the, oh, poor thing, look, let's help an indigenous artisan. But in our case, we want to show you, like, they're proud of doing these crafts. Whether or not it sells well, they have made a craft which is well made to begin with, not just for the tourist market, not just for pity, but something that you can purchase and use.
And the public are very receptive to this.
The public are very receptive to the point where we now have what we refer to as stall stalkers.
Can you elaborate?
Stall stalkers are our great fans. They really like some items which are very rare, and we normally take out those items, maybe one or two per sale, and they will have to come very early during the sale to pick up those items. So they literally wait for us to open, and they will be there as soon as we open.
Gerai OA mostly operates in KL. And according to Rita, this is down to the fact that the market is more lucrative and the awareness level is higher in our capital city.
Kuala Lumpur is where the money is. And also where the awareness is. A lot of people here have some idea of what's going on in the interiors and they do want to support the indigenous peoples. And they are also a bit more educated in the sense that they know to appreciate what is local crafts. So it's not that it can't sell better in, say, Kota Kinabalu. It can sell in Kota Kinabalu, but it can sell better here in Kuala Lumpur.
With such a great reception to these products, do customers then go to the extra mile to learn more about the person behind these handicrafts?
Yes, they do. And some of our buyers actually do try and follow us to the villages, or we give them direction to the nearer villages to meet the person who made the items. I think it makes more sense for them, then they know where the money's going. It's the same with our volunteers. Those who just work on our stall side, they have dedication, but it's a totally different ball game once you've gone to the village and you see where the money goes. Then you know why you are working.
Ultimately, Gerai Oi's aim goes beyond providing an income for the indigenous community. It's a constant fight to provide them with a better life.
Depends on the communities we work with, but basically the interiors are different from KL, for example. I'm urbanite as well. So yes, my first few times in the interiors was a bit of an eye-opening experience that we still have communities in Malaysia that still don't have running water or electricity for that matter, or kids that don't go to school. There's so many issues that are out there, and most Malaysians don't know about these issues. So we are using crafts as a means to educate people about the issues surrounding the Orang Asal.
Ultimately, Gerai Oi's aim goes beyond providing an income for the indigenous community.
Well, I know that a lot of our buyers are interested in the issues, but they don't want to be preached on about the deforestation or logging or resettlements. They do like their crafts. The problem is the crafts are disappearing because the forests are disappearing. So if they can just see that there is a connection between the two, and the reason why we are asking the crafts people to make crafts is also to keep the forest intact. It's ironical. The only way they can produce crafts is if the forest is intact.
Recently, we have seen various issues surrounding Orang Asal highlighted by the media, with the latest being the blockade in Gua Musang, Kelantan by the Temiar community. According to Reta, when it comes to issues like these, all the community want is some say on the matter.
The community is not against development. Orang Asal are not against any form of development. They just want some say in the development that lands on their traditional territories. So the main problems is that a lot of developments, either governmental or private, they don't always ask for consent about what they're doing on the lands or the sea surrounding the areas that the communities work in. So suddenly they find out that they're going to be relocated, or the forest suddenly disappears. And with that, for us, the crafts also disappear. We've had craft going extinct in certain areas, not because the artisan died, but because the forest disappeared literally overnight. Within 3 months, it was completely logged, leaving the community that we've worked with for over a few years suddenly incomeless, because they relied on the forest not just for the crafts, but also non-timber forest products which they could sell, like fruits or rattan.
Recently, we have seen various issues surrounding Orang Asal highlighted by the media, with the latest being the blockade in Gua Musang, Kelantan by the Temiar community. According to Rita, when it comes to issues like this, all that the community want is to have some say on the matter.
It's slightly easier now because access to interior areas are improving. It's not like in the past, but there's still a lot of issues because you still have to take almost a year just to build trust. Trust building is normally not built into many time frames for the NGOs and projects which are funded, which is why, unfortunately, a lot of those projects die, because they don't take into consideration you need time for the community to see who you are, what you do, whether they agree with you, whether they disagree with you, can they disagree with you. A lot of people are not aware that communities can say no, and we have faced that before. So we don't come into a community, we actually get invited in. That's our rule. We don't force ourselves on the community.
Having been involved with Gerai Oi for almost 13 years, Reta has some advice for people who would like to embark on a similar journey.
Talk with them. They're like us. Urban people and rural people are actually more alike than you think they are. It's just that we don't always get to talk to each other. That's why there's that assumption. But it's quite hilarious because, for example, I'm in the interiors and the ladies always worry about my safety when I'm back in KL. Yet I'm the safest when I'm back in the interiors. Yet the KL people will assume that I'm going to be dangerous. Oh my God, you're going to the forest and things like that. And I say, I'm the safest when I'm in the forest. I could die in KL, get stabbed, and no one would care. But in the villages, they are, oh, your host mother wants you back now. And they'll send some kid running after me to tell me to go home and, you know, finish the field work, whatever.
That was Rita Rahim, the founder and coordinator of Gerai OA. If you'd like to get the latest updates from them, maybe to visit their next sales perhaps, you can head on over to their Facebook page. Just look for Gerai OA on Facebook. If you'd like to check out the interview again, head over to bfm.my/ilovekl or download our latest app via Google Play and the App Store. Also, we would love to hear from you. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. My name's Hanif Baharuddin, and you have been tuning in to I Love KL, the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Join us again next week on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Save big at Banana Republic Factory with 60% off the entire store. Our biggest sale of the year. Plus, take an extra 50% off clearance. Stock up on dresses, shirts, and shorts under $15. Find your nearest store or shop online only at Banana Republic Factory.